The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day and I will see that person face to face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
Down to Wyoming or Montreal, and two totally different types of trips, and I went with the Old West mountains and bears and bisons and type trip. You know, this is my rugged wilderness story. I got a good scrape, good gash on my leg from one of our expeditions. And by expedition, I mean that the rental car was a Ford Expedition, and I caught my leg on the door at one point and got a little scrape.
Boy, that's the kind of thing that could only happen in Wyoming. Am I right? Yeah.
Only there. That's their postcard. That's their slogan speaks. Only in Wyoming.
I mean,
only in Wyoming could you catch yourself in the leg when you're shutting your door to your truck.
You got to understand something. If we leave the country, there's no coming back here. Is there any special country you want to go to? Wyoming. No, Wyoming. That's not a country. That's all right. I'm going to take care of it.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Tanny's got a drop for everything. Jason Leisure joining us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. There's a lot that I would like to talk with Jason Leisure about, but Spiegs has got a ton of football stuff that he wants to throw at you first. So I'm just going to leave it to my partner here.
Thank you. I have something to throw at Spiegs too, so after we're done with this.
All right. Oh, well, look, we got something. Everybody's got something for everybody.
Pew, pew, pew.
This is the way it's supposed to work. Jason, last year, the Chicago Bears offensive line had a ranking throughout the season on Pro Football Focus of like 22. Every once in a while, they'd be up at like 20. Sometimes they'd be down at like 25 from week to week. I am looking at the ProFootballFocus.com NFL offensive line rankings right now on the 7th of July. Would you care to hazard a guess, or do you know where they have the Chicago Bears' new look offensive line?
Oh, let's see. You said they're usually low 20s. They've made some improvements. I'm going to guess 18th.
They would be fourth in the in the entire NFL. The Eagles, the Broncos, the Bills, and then the Bears. Things are set to look a lot different in Chicago. Not only is the offensive line remolded, it's also perhaps the most improved unit in the NFL. And they talk about Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright as being already a promising young duo before they get to the guys in the middle. I'm excited about the guys in the middle, but just throwing Braxton Jones, we have no idea who the left tackle is.
No one's seen Braxton Jones, including Jason Leisure.
One of the things I learned all the years doing Levitard Show is that if somebody ever asks you to guess something and you actually do know the answer, you have to guess wildly off. Otherwise, it's very anticlimactic.
It's very Stugatz of you.
Yes. If Spiegs is like, can you guess where the Bears are? And I'm like, well, I just read they were fourth. And then he would be like, oh, well, that was it.
That killed the bit.
Good job. Good job.
You have
Jason.
To guess way high if it's low and guess way low if it's high.
Nice work. So you knew they were fourth. It's outrageous, isn't it?
It's incredible because I don't remember the last time they were top 10. Not in the time I've been covering them. I don't think they have been. Even in 2018, were they top 10? They might have been. It's been a struggle. They've gone cheap across two administrations now, tried to go cheap or try with either low salary cap investment or late draft picks for some of those spots. But I think I assume that they're assuming Braxton Jones is healthy. And man, fourth seems so high. I could see him being top half of the league if we're assuming Braxton Jones is a starting left tackle. But there's a lot to like there. I mean, we all like Darnell Wright at right tackle. And on paper, this is a very good interior offensive line with the acquisitions, the trade acquisitions of Tooney and Jackson and signing Drew Dahlman.
I think we've probably given Jackson a little bit more credit than he might deserve, considering his play last year. And I get it's a position change.
And it's a Detroit familiarity thing.
Yeah, I know.
That's why we're giving
him the Ben Johnson bump. I think everybody is, including the Bears, including Ryan Poles in the checkbook. I think those interior linemen, it's something like $160 million over the next 3 years is on the books for them. I mean, that better get you in the top 10. And it's interesting to see them ranked that high, Spiegs, without definitive word on who the starting left tackle is even going to be. I mean, you talk about Braxton Jones. Is he going to come back healthy? I mean, even if he does, he might not be the guy. But I think that an upgraded interior with Darnell Wright on the right side, and a baseline, a bare minimum of Braxton Jones or better at left tackle, that's pretty good. Fourth feels high, but definitely top half of the league makes sense to me.
Can you give me that list one more time? The top five, Speaks?
The top five.
Because there was a line that I was like, wait, did I miss them?
It starts with the Eagles, and then it goes to the Broncos. The Denver Broncos! Buffalo Bills. The Chicago Bears at 4, the Indianapolis Colts at 5.
Little surprised the Ravens aren't on there, considering the type of running game that they provided last year and you would expect would provide this year.
All the way down at 17.
Okay.
That's weird, man.
All right. So, yeah. Do we know what the Bears offensive line was ranked last year? Preseason. We need to find that out.
Preseason, I think they were 10 last year because the Bears, they dominate the offseason. We're back-to-back offseason champs here, Leisure.
Everyone, including the Bears and including me, was overly optimistic about their offensive line last year. I didn't think 10th, but I thought league average. I thought that would be a league average offensive line last year, and it wasn't even close. Well, it was not even close.
I would quibble with that. I think they probably were around league average, and I know that the sack total is high, but I think that we have the quarterback copping to the fact that he played a major role, salute, in that sack number being as high as it was. They were not good, but I don't think that they were an absolute disaster last year.
Depends what the grading you use is. I mean, if I'm looking at that, I'm saying Nate Davis, complete zero, and Braxton Jones didn't get better before he got hurt. And those are huge problems. I mean, you thought Nate Davis would be good when he played, and then it turns out he barely ever played. And you thought Braxton Jones would be at least a little bit better, and I don't think he was. I think he was headed toward a pretty bad season if he had stayed healthy and been on the field. It wasn't going well at the time he got hurt.
I use Lawrence Football Focus, LFF. It's a new thing that's going on, and people seem to like it. So, you know, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, Chris Collinsworth, okay. Big fan of yours.
He's going to invest.
Yeah, I think so.
But what you notice with all the good offensive lines,
like $500.
When you look at Philly and Detroit and Baltimore, and all, it's huge investment. It's not a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It's not a bunch of, oh, we found this guy that no one else wants. Here's Sam Mustipher at center, and here's Braxton Jones, a late-round pick out of a college you've never heard of. It's all first- and second-round picks and big, expensive free agents.
That's true. This is the time for list because we're in the dark period before camp starts, and we only got 2 more weeks before camp start. At least the Bears camp start. One camp will start next week, or 2 camps will start next week because of the Hall of Fame game.
Wow.
Is on the way. But this is the time of year where we start looking at lists. The top 100 will come out, and people won't be on it. We went through a list yesterday of the 25 under 25, and Caleb wasn't on it, which was I was wondering if that was surprising or not surprising that he wouldn't be on a top 25 under 25.
Who made the list?
Hold on.
Who wrote the list?
Steve Palazzolo, formerly of Pro Football Focus.
But not currently of Lawrence Football Focus.
No, but he might be available, though.
He might be. I'll have to see if I can get him.
There were 2 quarterbacks in the top 5, C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels, but that was it for the entire top 25.
Very worthy picks, both of them. Lawrence, would you agree that the national media, when it comes to Caleb Williams, is at least moderately tilted against him?
I think there is a large contingent of people who have been looking for the confirmation bias of their pre-draft feelings on Caleb Williams. Yes.
And I think if that's what you want, then you can pull that, you could extrapolate that from last season, and you can say, well, he held the ball too long, he was too tentative, you know, the interception streak is nice, but, you know, you have to take shots downfield, and it takes none of the problems into account. It takes none of the absolute incompetent coaching from top to bottom, other than probably Thomas Brown. It takes none of that into account. It takes none of the O-line problems into account. None of DJ Moore's inconsistency or moodiness into account. None of the failures of the running game into account. None of the defense's late season just complete collapse, so that you're playing basically out of the shotgun, trying to throw back into games starting in the second quarter. It takes none of that into account.
Do you watch the quarterback show on Netflix?
No, I don't. And I know it's popular, and I'm sure it's really good, but I get enough football.
It was really good last year, Lawrence. You watched
I watched the first episode today.
Is that where Cousins said that he felt misled by the Falcons?
Kirk Cousins, I find that he's really great on this, and it makes me like him more than I want to on this show. But watching the Jared Goff stuff, like I'm trying to watch it and you know, kind of reverse engineering some stuff, Speaks, because I figure if I watch what Jared Goff is doing, I'll find out more about Ben Johnson, and maybe we'll have some content that we can bring to the people that aren't watching it.
I think that's thoroughly fair. That's good.
Like, yeah. But hearing Jared Goff still be mad about the trade, like he was as honest as I've
mad
heard.
About the Rams trade. Mm-hmm.
He felt like he was not. That they did not communicate well with him.
Wow.
And that they kind of left him out on an island, and that he had talked with Sean McVay, and 30 seconds later it was on Twitter. Like, he was real mad about that still.
Hmm.
And seeing, like, we've joked about the way that he's been embraced in Detroit. I didn't realize to the depth of it that now Jared Goff chants start at Red Wings games and Tigers games. Like, and it's just become kind of a thing. And I think that that's cool for a guy that really didn't spend any time anywhere other than California through, you know, his first 25 years of life, to now find a place that where people like him and he feels at home. I think it's kind of dope.
But he's still mad about the trade. Like, what part of that resonates with you, Lawrence? Because I know that I have gotten a raw deal at work before, and I think everybody has at different points. But after a certain point, I mean, that trade was 5 years ago. After a certain point, usually, I mean, everything works out. Sometimes those bad things that happen are the best thing that could have happened.
And it's clearly the best thing that could have happened
for him. It opens the door to something that never could have happened otherwise. And since going to Detroit, he has gotten his money. He has gotten his winning. He has gotten great individual improvement.
Found himself like you said, a wife.
It's also like you said,
he's completely beloved there. So, I mean... Where would you guys fall on that, on still being mad 5 years later when it has worked out so well for you?
I get it, because it's about process. It's about I took what happened and I did my best with what happened, and it's worked out for both teams,
It depends what drives him, though. Like, for me to sit in the negative headspace of some time getting screwed 5 years ago. Is it about 5 years ago? Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, for some reason, it's like that doesn't do me any good. I don't function well in that headspace. You know what I mean? So I don't want to sit in that. But maybe he does. Maybe he's using that for his edge.
I didn't get the sense that he's using it. The way it came off to me was... I trusted all of these people, and no one here told me what was going on, and I'm frustrated by that.
I get it.
The way that he talked about Brad Holmes, and because he was like, that day when it was announced, he said he kept getting calls from a number that he didn't recognize, and he didn't want to pick up the phone. And then he was like, oh, and it was Brad Holmes. He's like, we're so excited to have you, Jarrett. Like, we are so, and then Dan Campbell called him, and the way that they approached smoothing that part of it over, like, instead of him feeling like it was an exile, it made him feel like he was welcome in that place. I thought that was kind of a cool introspective thing to find out about him.
That is a rare example to that trade of it's so unusual in the NFL for one team or one person to know something that everybody else doesn't. I think it's a fatal mistake that GMs make, thinking I know something that the other 31 don't, because it's usually just not the case. And that was, because I remember thinking, okay, well, that's just, they've got to take something back salary-wise to make this work. They're going to need a starting quarterback as they go in their rebuild. and I'm sure they're going to draft one the next year. And I still kept thinking every year, do the Lions not realize they need to draft a quarterback? And they were right.
So, Jason, when you were out in Wyoming, did you see sunrise over the turquoise mountains, messenger birds in sight? I mean, did you see like beauty? Did you see true beauty that you've been able to bring back here with you and feel in your everyday Chicagoland life?
For me, it was a great appreciation of the outdoors, of a landscape that you don't usually, that you don't see here. And I think Lawrence has the same affinity. I don't know about you, Spiegs, if you're into this too, but when you go out west to like Arizona, Colorado, California, just driving around out there has such a different feel to it.
It's quiet. Like part of the reason that I love going to Arizona and to Vegas, to be honest, usually outside of Vegas where I go hiking, is because it's quiet. And it's such a difference from what I'm used to. Like I spent my whole life in a place where it's big buildings and a beautiful lake. So to go someplace where you have like a fun like cityscape where there's mountains in the backgrounds and there's these oranges and reds and yellows like in your periphery and the sun shines 315 days
there's that
out of the year, like that part helps quite a bit. I enjoyed, Jason and I were on Fox with Tina Nguyen on Sunday, and I enjoyed getting the other part of the story of Wyoming.
It's the stuff
The stuff that your daughter said about the trip.
Oh, man. Man, my kids love to run their mouths.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, they get that from their mother.
Whoa!
Wow!
Hey!
Wow! It's a good thing she doesn't listen to this at all.
No, that's not true at all. Actually, I'm the one that has a microphone in front of me 24/7.
Seriously, chatterbox.
My wife is not like that at all.
I just loved how your oldest daughter played ombudsman to your lies about the Wyoming trip, and you're like, "Oh yeah, it was great." She's like, "Yeah, it was great and unorganized. Let me tell you about my father and his lack of organization when it comes to these trips."
That was true.
Yeah.
That was very true. I thought I was busy, you know, making the money that pays for these trips.
Oh, my God.
And, you can't just, like, wing it in Yellowstone. I think it's, like, thousands of square miles or something.
Yeah. You need a plan.
You're not just going to show them and be like, well, let's just drive around so we see some stuff, kid. I think my kids view you as the public record on my life, Lawrence, because this is not the first time my kids have felt like they needed to make sure you had the facts and information about me.
I'm happy to be that resource for them because they're brilliant children, and I like the fact that they're like, no, that's not what happened at all. And your daughter explaining how you guys had to go to coffee and she had to figure out what it is that you guys were going to do next.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
Everything I do, these kids are like, all right, we need to immediately report this to Grandma and Dion Miller and Lawrence Holm.
In that order? Grandma? Yes.
That's the order.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, they definitely tell Dion on Jason. They will tell her all the time about stuff he's out here doing.
Man, you gotta be careful because your kids will speak truths, and it's dangerous. It can be very dangerous when they do.
They allow Tony to be Tony, though, which I do think is interesting.
Who, Tony Gill?
Yeah. Your Tony daughters Gill love Tony, and they allow him to just be him. The rest of us give us a higher standard.
Yes. Tony is married, and there's a component there where his wife brings, much like my own marriage, his wife brings a lot of respectability to the equation.
Oh, that's the most important thing a sports human can do, is marry somebody like that. You need that.
I think that they kind of let a lot of Tony stuff go because they know that Steph is policing this and making sure everything stays on track.
So where are we on the Bears schedule? How far away are we from camp, Lawrence? Did you say 2 weeks? Something like that?
Don't the rookies report on the 19th?
Man.
I Yeah, I think regular camp starts. I think the whole team reports 2 weeks from today. I think the whole team is on the 22nd, and then the first practice is on the 23rd. And they've got 2 weeks of practice before they start getting into joint practices.
Yep. Yeah.
They shouldn't need any more practice on that. I mean,
first public practice is July 25th.
Okay.
So,
but it's super interesting because that in those first 2 weeks, you're going to start to get the answers that you want. You don't have to wait all the way till the opener in September to find out who Ben Johnson likes at certain positions. They're not going to still be toying around with ideas at left tackle, for example, 2 weeks in. They need to get set and get some continuity among those guys. So you're going to start seeing who's getting the reps, who's getting the ball when they're in passing drills, and who's starting at left tackle.
Yeah.
Speaks, the NFL is early this year. The Hall of Fame game is July 31st.
Oh, man, that's crazy. So I'm going to
up against the trade deadline.
I'm going to have to rage against the dying of the light that is the baseball season a little bit earlier than I normally do.
No, not with a contending Cubs team.
I will not go gentle into that good night.
Speaks, you got a contending Cubs team. There'll be plenty of opportunity for us to pat our heads and rub our tummies or whatever that is. The other way around, rub our heads and pat our tummies.
At the same time. Yeah, right, exactly.
Whatever
yeah.
that thing is.
Yeah, you do the
you also have a red hot White Sox team. 4 wins in their last 9 games.
Ooh,
that
boy.
Is smoking on the South Side.
We actually have a Sox adjacent thing that we need
4
to
do. 5 in our last 9 sounds like something Matt Eberflus would throw out there as, hey, it's not as bad as it looks.
Let's go to our list. All right, let's do it.
What would be his nickname for Luis Robert?
Hurdy.
Hurdy's back.
Hey, soft tissue. Come here,
I'm gonna
soft
call
tissue.
You untradeable. Oh, well, he called himself that.
Yeah, he really did.
He did.
Come here, untradeable.
He's got a couple of weeks to get it right, though.
The nicknames would not be that creative. They'd be you're spiky and you're batty and you're glovey. I'm going to call you Rosenbag.
Hey, Glovey.
Yeah. Because you pitch is the only reason.
Coach, we all have gloves. Whatever, but you're the one I see most often with it. Thank you, Jason.
What's going on there, Stirrups? You going to get a hit today? All right. Pat on the head. On to the next guy.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you, Jason.
See you guys.
Later.
It's Jason Leisure. He's actually going to sit in for you next week.
Yeah, in a couple days. I'm taking a couple days during the All-Star break off.
Now, we're certain that it's only the two, right?
I'll get back to you. We'll talk about it a little
bit. Yeah, real
later.
Nice baseball guy. The toughest time. Like, hey, I'm out of here.
Hey, man. I've always been the guy who covers, I'm going to cottage. I mean, all the way back in the day. Now I'm going to cottage.
Don't worry, Tanny. I got a whole week of Is Caleb Good?
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.